welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
When I call your name, how many of you believe there is power in the name of Jesus? Good morning, Redeemer. I am truly humbled and honored to be here with you this morning to celebrate this Women's Day with you. And on behalf of myself and my family, we want to say thank you for this opportunity to the chairman of the Deacon Board and his team, and to the chairman of our trustee ministry and her team. And to all of you, I say thank you for allowing us to share with you this morning. Proverbs 31, verse 30, and also Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38, and 46 through 49. Proverbs 31:30, Luke 1:26 through 38, and then 46 through 49. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is gain. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Luke chapter 1, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. And then we jump down to verse 46. "My soul," says Mary, "magnifies the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name." Today, she is sitting in the pews, perhaps from a single-parent home where her father or mother decided to walk out, never to return. She attended the inner city school and No one ever paid any attention to her. In fact, they made fun of her clothes, and oftentimes they mocked and laughed at the condition of her hair. An adult woman now, and things haven't changed that much. But she's been faithful. She's been steadfast, and God has been watching. She is a woman God can use. So this morning we want to talk about a woman God can use. In the Bible, there are two accounts of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ as found in Matthew and in the Gospel according to Luke. Luke, however, gives a more detailed picture of this account and permits us to learn more from the foretelling of the birth of our Savior. What was so special about Mary that God would use her to bring the Savior of the world through her womb? What can we as women of faith learn from Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ? What kind of woman can God use to do his work to impact this world? A woman that God can use is an ordinary woman. See, there was nothing outstanding about Mary. She had no fame, no wealth, and neither anything to boast about. She was an ordinary young lady from the tribe of Judah, and some even called her a peasant girl. Of royal lineage and trained in the scriptures, this 12-year-old teen experienced a life-changing event that she never dreamed of. Mary came to fame upon birthing the Lord Jesus Christ. Prior to that, I suspect she was minding her own business and very few people knew her, if at all. Just an ordinary teenager doing what teenagers did during that era, not having a care in the world. And one day she looked up only to be told that she had found favor, the kindness of a master toward his servant, and would give birth to the Savior of the world. She was just an ordinary girl. God is looking for ordinary women to carry out his work. He's not caught up with the well-educated, the most profound, the one who has all the gifts, the sister who speaks eloquently and brothers just drop when they see her. Nor is he impressed with the super sheroes. God will use any ordinary woman who doesn't mind availing herself. See, all too often, many of us sisters, we try too hard. Some of us force ourselves into places we really shouldn't be. Some of us make sidebar deals just to be out in front. Some of us will even dare to step on top of one another to move into what we call the next level. But Mary was different. She was just being her teenage self, not making any waves, not making any moves, not trying to be somebody else, not rocking the boat, just being. Might I suggest we just be ourselves? Be who God has made us. The Bible says, I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. We don't have to add. We don't have to subtract. We don't have to divide, because God will do the multiplying. Tim Hansel quotes this poem in his book entitled Holy Sweat: The Remarkable Things Ordinary People Can Do When They Let God Use Them. He says, God uses what you have to fill a need, which you never could have filled. He says, God uses where you are to take you where you never could have gone. He says God uses what you can do to accomplish what you never could have done. And then he says God uses who you are to let you become who you never could have been. A woman that God can use is just an ordinary woman who avails herself to the master. A woman that God can use has a relationship with God. Research suggests that girls during Mary's time weren't typically trained in the scriptures, but were trained how to run the house. In Mary's case, she was taught in the Old Testament scriptures, and she knew of the God of her ancestors. If we read further down in the Gospel of Luke, we find Mary quoting scriptures from Old Testament passages. But the beauty of this is that not only does she know about God, but she declares her need for a Savior. What about you? Do you have a relationship with God? Have you tried God for yourself? Have you been reconciled back to him through the finished work, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord? Do you have a relationship with the one who desires most to call you his child? Are you in a relationship with this God who has a plan for your life? Let me be clear. God is not looking for charm and beauty. Proverbs 31 says, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. In other words, Deacon Charlotte, God is not impressed with a diva, but he's looking for dedication. God is not turning his head toward the one who is radical. He's searching for the woman who will revere him. God is not moved by the sister who keeps confusion going. He wants to know if you can commit your ways to him. God doesn't care about your title in the church. He wants to know, can he trust you with the title? God doesn't care about the praise that you receive. He's concerned about your prayer life. What does your relationship with God look like? A woman God can use is in a relationship with him. Not only is a woman God can use ordinary and she has a relationship with him, but she is also open to what God is doing through her, and she's humble. Look at Mary. Having heard the message from Gabriel, her reaction to the Annunciation in verse 29 was, she was perplexed. She was troubled greatly by his words, and she pondered. She tried to wrap that thing around her mind, what sort of greeting this should be. How many of us, having heard that being said to us, would have instantly said, I'm not doing that. What, God? You want me to do what? Not me. I can't do that. Go where? Are you kidding me? Lord, you got jokes. One of the things we are taught when crafting a sermon is to always look at the readings prior to and after your text. Having done this, I read the story of where Zechariah had almost the same experience as Mary with the same angel, Gabriel. Elizabeth, Zechariah's wife, was barren, and they had surpassed the age of childbearing. But the angel Gabriel had the audacity to appear in the temple and told Zechariah that his prayers had been heard and that Elizabeth was going to bear a son, and his name was to be John. Zechariah, instead of embracing the answer to his very own prayers, doubted and was in disbelief. And as a result, he was made mute until John was born. So what? A woman God can use is open to whatever God chooses to do
through her. This is not to say that you won't be afraid. This doesn't mean that you're going to feel worthy. Like Mary, you too may be perplexed and wonder about the method of how this call is going to be fulfilled. But if the Lord has called you to it, he will see you through it. So to my sisters, I'm going to say to you, be careful when you say, I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away so you can use me. Be careful when you say, here I am, here I stand. Lord, my life is in your hands. Lord, I'm longing to see your desires revealed in me. I give myself away. Be careful when you say, take my heart, take my life as a living sacrifice. All my dreams and all my plans, Lord, I place them in your hands. I give myself away. Be careful when you say, I give myself away. But be open to whatever God wants to do through you. In this text, I also see that Mary was humble when Gabriel gave her God's message. How many of us, and y'all be honest, would have embraced such an opportunity without getting on the cell phone and telling our girlfriends or the entire world? How many of us would not have placed it first on Facebook, Instagram, and even tweeted it before Gabriel had a chance to leave town? It takes a humble woman to be used by God. Why? Because the Bible says, I am the Lord. That is my name. And I will not share my glory with anyone else. It also says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. A story is told about a young seminarian who was excited about preaching his first sermon in his church. After 3 years in seminary, he went back to his home church and he felt adequately prepared. And when he was introduced to the congregation, he walked boldly to the pulpit with his head held high and he radiated self-confidence. But he began to stumble reading the scriptures. And then he lost his train of thought halfway through his message. He began to panic, so he did the safest thing. He quickly ended the message, he prayed, and then he walked dejectedly from the pulpit with his head held down and his self-assurance all gone. Later, one of the godly elders whispered to the embarrassed young man, if you had gone up to the pulpit the way you came down, you might have come down the way you went up. The elder was right. God still resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Sisters, we have to watch how we go up, because remember, we're all going to come back down. So when God uses us, we must be humble and always remember not that we are competent of ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, because our competence is from God, who has made us competent to be his ministers of a new covenant. We have to remember, if you think you are standing, watch out that you do not fall. We have to remember, for all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. We've got to remember that wisdom's instruction is to fear the Lord, and humility comes before honor. God can use a woman who is humble. Mary wasn't just ordinary. She didn't just have a relationship with God. She wasn't just open to whatever it was that God wanted to do through her. Neither was she just humble. But she was also a servant. Verse 38 says, "Then Mary said, 'Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word.'" Mary responded favorably to the message given to her. She calls herself a servant, one who worships God and submits to him. But the option was hers. God was not going to force her to do anything against her will. And it's the same today. He will not coerce us to be part of his plan. Our God is so loving and kind until he will not dare push his will upon us. He made us and he has given us free will. As women of God, we can choose to simply live day in, day out, day in, day out, and just exist in this world. Or we can come alongside of a great God and impact the kingdom. Our God is so awesome until he will not pressure us to do his bidding. He does not use threats to make us be a part of the work that's to be done on earth. God's invitation has been, is, and will be extended. But a woman that God can use is a servant. And finally, Mary teaches us, a woman that God can use has great joy. Mary became so excited about what the Lord desired to do in her until she was filled with unspeakable joy. When we look at verses 46 through 49, she begins to sing a song of praise known as the Magnificat. She says, "My soul magnifies the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant." She says, "Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name." Redeemer, if I had to paraphrase this and make it personal as to where I am today, based on the Greek translation, I would say my heart esteems highly and declares great the Lord. And the power which I feel is exceedingly glad in God my Savior. For he has turned his eyes with favor on the low estate of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me fortunate. For the one who is able, the one who is powerful, and the one who is strong has done big things just for little old me. And holy is his name. I can only imagine how Mary must have felt. Well, it's time to wrap it up. But I stopped by to tell you all that the joy in this message was the scripture that read, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. And it ain't even about being the favored one. It's about the one who is with you. This is encouraging, because we need to know that regardless of whatever it is that God calls us to, we already know that the Lord is with us. Therefore, we have faith because the Lord is with us. We have favor because the Lord is with us. We don't have to fear because the Lord is with us. We can make mountains move because the Lord is with us. We can move to high places because the Lord is with us. We can get that promotion because the Lord is with us. We can be that godly wife because the Lord is with us. It ain't even about having the favor. It's about the God who gave you the favor. It's about the Lord who is going to be with you. Come heaven or hell, you need to know if the Lord is with you. Can I get a witness today? How do you know the Lord has been with you? He woke you up this morning. He started you on your way. He put shoes on your feet. He put clothes on your back. The Lord is with you. My sisters and my brothers, you need to be a servant that God can use. And at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, you need to be able to say, Minister D, and the Lord was with me. Yeah, the Lord. It ain't about me, ain't about you. It's all about the Lord being with us. We didn't do this. We didn't make this up. We ain't got enough sense to do that with what we do. It's been God all along. So he called us here to give him the praise, to give him the glory. It's been God. It's been God. It's been God all by himself. It's been God. When I think about how good God has been to me, I don't know about you. It's been God in spite of me. There's some stuff I did, Deacon Charlotte, I had no business doing, but it's been God. I've been some places I had no business going, but it's been God. Grace, mercy, coming running after me. It's been God. My sisters and my brothers, if you don't get nothing else today, know that it's been God. Let's give God some praise. Let's give God some praise. As we stand to our feet, and as we think about all that the Lord has done through us, in spite of us, even as recent as last night, or even this morning, and he is still God, and he is still blessing, and he is still forgiving. If you are here today and you don't have a relationship with the God of this kind of salvation, the doors of the church are open. If you are here, why don't you come this morning?